families, but more important, it's going to bless God's people in helping them bless God. So when he brings that to you, just bring it. Just bring it before the Father. I even see you laying prostrate and in such obedience to the Lord, because that's how much you love him. And I personally appreciate your walk with God, Paul, because you have ministered to me so many times, and it's always been right on. And God is bringing you yet to even a bigger, larger, higher realm than you've ever walked before. And Doug, where's Doug? Doug, you have a new kitten in your life, a spiritual kitten. And when you get a kitten, it claws at you. You know, it wants to climb on you. It pulls your clothing. It makes runs in them. And you get scratches all over your body. And sometimes they even get a little infected. But you love that kitten. And so you hold on to it, and you nourish it, and you feed it, and you watch it grow. And God is taking that spiritual kitten in your life, and he's making it a comfortable place of a full-grown kitten, a full-grown cat now on your lap that's sitting and it's purring. And the more you caress the cat and the more you groom the cat, the happier the cat is, the less it scratches you, the less care it needs. Cats are pretty much self-sufficient if you just leave them. You know, you leave them outside, they'll survive. You leave them inside, they'll survive. But you've got this kitten, and it's now going to be coming a full-fledged cat that's going to be comforted by you. And that comfort is also going to be given to someone else, Doug. It's one person individually that the Lord has given to you. And he wants you to take very, very good care of him, even though you're going to get scratched and you're going to have to change the kitty litter and you're going to have to change the food and you're going to have to change the water. And you might even get a little bit infected and you might have some nils and pulls and some cat hairs on you. It's going to be a full-grown cat, so you take care of that. And the other word I had was for Ron. And Ron, I saw you this morning as you were standing up here ministering us in communion. And thank you, by the way. That was a wonderful word. I saw that you had a new prescription from the Lord. And only those in authority can write prescriptions. I mean, if I wrote a prescription and took it to the pharmacy, they'd say, look at this jerk, and they'd throw it away in garbage. But a person in authority can write prescription, and you have to have a certain... you have to wear a certain hat to wear a prescription. Well, we know that our God is the greatest healer that can write prescriptions. And the Lord is writing you a new prescription at this time in your life, Ron. And it's not just that you're becoming a grandfather, but a whole new, I don't know what word to compare with medicinal, a whole new, I don't know what word I want. It's not to do with healing. A whole new apothecary is coming to you. And in that apothecary is going to be every single thing that you need to take at that moment that you need. Okay, you got a headache, so you take an aspirin. But in the spiritual, you have a headache, you go to the Father. You have Motrin, you have antibiotics, you have this and this and the whole thing. And in that prescription, God has given you all those spiritual giftings that you're needing. You already have so many, Ron, but now it's going to be doubled and tripled and quadruple labeled. And you're just going to go to that drawer and you're going to pull it out and you're going to say, oh, the Father said this, and you're going to immediately have it. So use that prescription, not only for yourself and your family, but of course, as you know, Ron, for the body of Christ. And thank you for the ministry that you have given over these years to this body.
Thank you, Mary. When God speaks prophetically, you know, it's not to impress, but it's to encourage. Encourage the one who the word is for. Encourage the rest of us to know that your Father wants to speak specifically into your life. And ultimately, it's spoken that he might be glorified. So, amen. Amen. So Lord, we do pray over those words that were spoken, Lord, that these men would meditate on those and come closer to you as they look to what those words might mean. Lord, we pray that each one of us would desire to have you specifically speak to us, encourage us, give us direction, just as a good father would. And Father, we do pray for those in this congregation, Lord, for health and peace and joy. And today, Lord, as families celebrate together, Lord, we thank you for Mary's health being back with us, Lord, for Nicole being home, Lord. We thank you for your precious care for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Keith, will you receive the offering?
I just wanted to share briefly that, you know, I had faced a setback this week. And when I heard the news, I felt despair. I was upset. And I had to be reminded that when you are rejected by men, it's because God has something special for you. That when you are rejected, it's because God has something special. And he said to me, don't be despair. Don't waver. He said, now's the time. We listened to a song last week where he spoke in the lyrics. Now's the time. You strap up your boots and you step up to the line of fire and you never waver on your faith. Stand strong in me. I have you. And Lord, I want to pray your blessing over this offering, Heavenly Father. Lord, we know that a rejected chance to give is a missed opportunity to receive, Heavenly Father. I pray a blessing over this, Lord Jesus, that with your blessing, we will do our best to use this money in a manner that will further your kingdom and serve you best, Heavenly Father. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father. Amen.
Thank you. So is there children's? Okay. So we can release. Go! Release the children and the teachers and. Oh, you're going back there? Okay.
I just wanted to give an update on my mission trip that's coming up in July. So me and my nephew Jesse will be leaving July 10th. Our tickets are bought, and we'll be coming back July 17th. I spoke to Eileen the other day, and everything's just rolling ahead. I've been praying. I thank everyone for all your prayers. Please keep them coming. Everyone who's, you know, donated to me financially, thank you so much. I've just been trying to just put all the last things together with my vacation Bible school lessons and getting supplies and making getting the crafts ready to go and everything. So yeah, just please just continue to pray. That's the most important thing for me, just to give me peace, to keep me, you know, not to freak out, just to, you know, that that the Holy Spirit will just do whatever he wants to do through me and Jesse, through the children there, through everyone. So thank you.
Lord, we do pray a blessing, Lord, over the preparation, Lord, that the enemy wouldn't be able to steal anything in these weeks to come, Lord, peace or joy or health. Or, Lord, we just pray for Michelle and Jesse. We pray for the Truroads. We pray for every child who's to be present at that, Lord. Prepare their hearts for them, Lord, that families down there would be changed forever by this work you're about to do. Amen. Pastor Mike.
Thank you, Fran. Hallelujah.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to share. First, I just wanted to thank Keith for really heartfelt sharing that in the body. It's great. And it's great to hear that. And I just wanted to share something quickly. 5 years ago, my earthly father died on this day. And I want to just say that I'm thankful for him. But I'm really up here to give glory to God about something this week that I just wanted to share with the congregation. I've been teaching astronomy this year. And as a public school teacher, I'm not allowed to share God, Jesus Christ, my faith, you know, unless I do it very tactfully. However, as a science teacher, I get to share miracles all day. So it's kind of like evangelizing all day without using the name of God or Jesus. And so I am so thankful for that because I get to do that all day long. And this past week, and every once in a while I stumble, or God has something, I'll be right in the middle of something, or I stumble on something new, and God just like literally strikes me dead as I'm teaching. And this last thing was on dark energy and dark matter. And I don't know if any of you have ever heard of that before. But it turns out that it's interesting because we don't know anything about it. And dark energy and dark matter make up 95% of the universe. And I couldn't help but thinking about it as I'm teaching. The whole universe and everything we see is only 5% of all there is. And the other 95% is undetectable. We can't pick it up in any way. All we know is it's there. And you know why we know it's there? Because of the perfect order of our universe. When you look at galaxies and just all the different things that you see, there's perfect order, like unbelievable order. But it can't be from what's here. The 95% of it is not here. And it can't be spotted or detected. And about 10 years ago, Stephen Hawking made a famous statement that all you need is gravity. And basically what he was doing is he was debunking God. He was basically saying, you don't need God, all you need is gravity. Well, guess what? The material we have here in the universe doesn't do it, doesn't pull the order that we have. And I just thought about, isn't that like life? Isn't 95% unseen? Only 5% is what I'm seeing right now. The other 95% is behind the scenes. It's I don't want to use the word dark with God, but because God is light. But 95% is behind the scenes. And it just helps me to meditate that all that time. When Keith was going through what he was going through, he was saying, no, I'm not going to believe the 5%. I'm going to believe the 95% that's in God's word. And I'm going to rest on that no matter how awful it gets. And I'm going to share with you something personal. I didn't mean to share. That I wasn't going to share. But emotionally and mentally, I struggle a lot. But I get through every day fine. Because of Jesus Christ. But it's not easy, and I know it's not easy for you either. And we don't talk about those things because we put on our best face in church. But honestly, I know that when you walk out of here, there's something you're struggling with, and it's that 95% we got to count on, not the 5% that we see. So thank you. I'm sorry to take so much time. I didn't mean to share.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He's creator. He's the creator of all things. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I have a little sore throat I'm battling with this morning. And I just thank Pastor Ron. I can call him out of retirement once in a while. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he read some of my notes, I think. Praise God. When the Spirit of God does that, it's beautiful that the Spirit of God is moving in this place. Hallelujah. This morning, my message, the title is Abba, Father. And the word Abba means daddy. And Father always follows the word Abba in the scriptures. It means the term to express affection, confidence, trust, a close, intimate relationship of the father with his child. As a child trusts, the young child puts his trust in daddy. When I attended years ago, Iron Sharpen Iron, and one of the speakers, I think he was the first speaker that came up to share. He began to share about his daughter's relationship with the father and the daughter. If I remember correctly, I don't know if he was hang gliding that day, and his wife was concerned that he would take his daughter with him. And he looked at his daughter and said, "Are you scared?" She said, "No." So he began to strap her to his body to take her off the mountain. He asked her again, "Are you scared?" And she said, "No, I'm with daddy." What a close relationship. What a close relationship that we can have with our Father in heaven. That no matter what we go through, we can say like that little child, "No, I'm with daddy." Her confidence, her trust in her father, that nothing was going to happen to her. That's the confidence we should have with our Heavenly Father. When we deal with things in our lives, things that we go through, that relationship with Jesus and with the Father. Jesus, in the scripture, we get through a passage, we see that relationship, the Son and the Father. But Paul writes about his relationship with his Heavenly Father. And we can have that relationship with our Heavenly Father. I said earlier that the passage are found in three places. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, when Jesus addressed his father as Abba, Father. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, where the apostle Paul mentioned Abba, Father in relationship to the Spirit, the working of adoption. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. In Galatians, Paul writes, Galatians 4:6, "And because you are sons, God sent forth his spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father." God sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts that we can cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. And we pray that your Spirit would just come and fill our heart this morning that we can cry out, Abba, Father. Daddy. And you know the things we go through. You know the circumstances of our lives, Lord God, before they even happen. In that place of distress, in that place of crying out to you, Father, fill our hearts with your Spirit. Where we can come to that deeper relationship with you, Father, and we cry out, Abba, Father. I'm with Daddy. To have that confidence and that faith, knowing that nothing's going to happen to us because I'm with Daddy. I thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This morning in the text reading will be the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 12. It's the time of the Passover celebration. And verse 12. On the first day of the festival of the unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus' disciples asked them, "Where do you want us to go and prepare the Passover meal for you?" So Jesus sent two of them into Jerusalem with these instructions. As you go into the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he entered, say to the owner, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where we can eat the Passover meal with his disciples? He will take you upstairs into a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare a meal. So the two disciples went into the city and found everything that Jesus had said. And they prepared the Passover meal. In the evening, Jesus arrived with the 12 as they were at the table eating. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, one of you eating with me here will betray me. And greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, am I the one? And he replied, it is the one of you 12 who eats from the bowl with me. For the Son of Man must die, as the scripture declared long ago, about how terrible it is to be for that one who betrays him. It will be far better if he had never been born. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, eat, for this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks to God. He gave it to them and said, drink from it. Verse 24. And he said to them, this is my body, this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for the many. I tell you the truth, I will not drink again until the day I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Verse 26. They sang hymns and went out to the Mount of Olives. And on the way, Jesus told them, all you will desert me. For the scripture says, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. In the Old Testament, in Zechariah 13, verse 7, it speaks about, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. But after I am raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there. And Peter said to him, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times that you never knew me. No, Peter declared, even if I die with you, I will never deny you. And all of them vowed the same. They all said that to Jesus. We will never deny you. We will die with you. But in the night, when they were in the Mount of Olives, Jesus said, sit here while I go and pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him. He began deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went a little further and fell to the ground. And he prayed, if it's possible, this awful hour awaits me. You may pass. And he cried out, Abba, Father, everything's impossible with you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done. He said that Jesus was in distress. And he was looking for the suffering of the cross. Gethsemane means the olive press. Jesus will be in press. That's a song we sang this morning. Let us be press, that we will be new wine. And Jesus will be in press with deep distress, where he cried out, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, what you will. But what you will. He expressed his own feelings. He expressed his own desire to the Father. It was not only physical agony of the crucifixion. He knew no sin and will experience the work of God against sin. He knew no sin. He was experiencing the work of God. That sin will be put upon him upon that cross that day. And he was in agony. He called, Abba, Father. Take this cup from me. Because we see the two sides of Jesus. We see the man side of Jesus crying out, take this cup from me. But yet, he knew as a spiritual man of God that he would go to the cross and take the sins of the world upon him. A man without sin would take the sins of the world unto himself. We too can cry out, Abba, Father, because we're adopted in the family of God. Redeemed from the curse of sin and death. May heirs with Christ in Romans 8, 16, 17. For the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And heirs with Christ. We too can cry out, Abba, Father, as we celebrate Father's Day. Because his spirit testified to my spirit that I am a child of God. His spirit testified to your spirit that you are the child of God. You can cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. You see, he deals with us differently in this new relationship with the Father. He deals with us as a family member because our relationship with Daddy. I know when my children comes to me, when they were little, I will always try to comfort them. Even in their bad behavior. Because that's the love of the Father. And I will allow them to share what's going on in their lives. To listen. That's Daddy. When we go to him, he quietly listens to us. He hears the cry of his children. In the heavenly, he sits on his throne and he hears the cry when Bud cries out, when Borden cries out, when we cry out, Daddy, he says, that's my child. He listens. He sends his spirit to testify to our spirit. Hallelujah. He no longer deals with us as enemies. Instead, we can approach him with boldness. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brethren, have boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus. You see, as children, you can enter into the throne room with boldness because the blood of Jesus covers us. We can enter the very presence of the throne room of Daddy. Hallelujah. For boldness, the Bible said. In Hebrews 10:22 and verse 23, the Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance of faith. We can enter in with that assurance of faith that the little girl said, no, Daddy, I'm not scared because I'm with Daddy. We can enter in with that fullness of faith into his throne room, covered by his blood. Feel with his spirit. The Bible says, let us draw near with our hearts full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confidence of our hope without wavering. I think I heard that this morning. For he who promises faithful. He is faithful. Without waving, we can come to Daddy because he is faithful to us. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit testified with our spirit that we are children of God. Becoming a child of God is the most highest and humbling experience and honor. When we become children of God, we have this relationship with God, standing before him. Instead of running from God and trying to hide our sins like Adam and Eve, we can run to him, saying, Abba, Father. Finding forgiveness in Christ, being an adopted child of God is a source of hope, a source of security. To live a life worthy of our calling. To receive all he has for us. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, verse 1. He says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. Beseech you. He's saying, I encourage you. I go after you. Beseech you for the calling that is worthy of him who calls you. The Bible said we are not from this world. I think I shared that last week. We are not to love this world. Because he promised us to an inheritance with Christ. Incorruptible, undefilable. And that does not fade away, receive in heaven for you. Wow. Receive in heaven for you. That blows my mind. It's promise. It's there for you. Unwavering, not fading in Christ Jesus. It is the hope which is laid up for you in the heavens. Galatians 1:5 says. Being child of the King of Kings and the Lord calls us to a higher standard. A different way of life. An inheritance that can never perish or fade. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. It reads, do not love the world. Or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father abides with him forever. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it's not yet revealed what we should be. The Bible said, but we know that when he is revealed, we should be like him. For we should see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him, purify himself just as he is pure. We should be revealed just like him. We have that hope, that promise, unwavering promise of Christ set in the heavenly places for us. Why did Jesus cry out in the garden, saying, Abba, Father? I said this early. Abba means more than a personal, like saying daddy. The relationship, the son and the father. He said, Father. It's showing that his father, that he respects the respect that's due to his father. He's crying out, Daddy. And he's saying, Father, that you are the Lord, the creator of all things. I submit to you. Not my will, but your will be done. And when we approach our Father in heaven, we should cry out, Abba, Daddy. And we should say, Father, because all honor and glory is yours. Because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we honor you. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he began, Our Father. Our Father. There's so much truth in those two words alone. The holy and righteous God who created and sustained all things, who is all powerful, all knowing, and ever present. What a privilege. What an amazing grace. God will love us. That Jesus will sacrifice himself for us and the Holy Spirit indwell us in an intimate relationship with Daddy. What an amazing grace that the Father shown his love to each one of us. And Jesus sacrificing himself to us and the Holy Spirit indwelling us in an intimate relationship with our Daddy and our Father. I lost my dad 16 years ago, the 20th of this month. My dad and I had a good relationship. We go to ball games together. He would always counsel us. A go-to guy, you know? Guy who loved the Lord. Who worked hard in his life. Raised three children. Started with nothing. Had nothing. Couldn't speak the language. Was always striving forward. Growing up, he would tell us, you have to do better than me. You have to do better. And I tell my kids, you have to do better than me. This past week, I met with a young man. We had lunch together. My wife don't know this, but she's going to know it now. He's been dating my daughter for about a year. And he says, I want to ask your daughter's hand in marriage. He hasn't announced it yet. Amen. So you guys keep it in the church, okay? Don't let it go out of the church. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy for her. I am so happy. I'm so happy for her. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love him. Come from a good Christian family of 8 children. He serves in the NYPD. He's a good man. I continue to pray for him for his safety. And he said to me at the end of our conversation, man, you raised the bar. You raised the bar about being a husband. You raised the bar about being a father. He said, you raised the bar high. Because as a father, you want to know that the man who's going to marry your daughter loves her as much as you do. I don't want a wishy-washy guy. I don't want a guy who comes and cries like a baby. I want him to be a man, a father, a husband. Or a husband, a father. So he said that to me. And I appreciate that. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And we pray this morning. And I'm glad that the Spirit of God touches my spirit. He touched Pastor Ron's spirit. And I was going to have the church stand up and do the prayer. Praise the Lord. God is good. Praise the Lord. The Father in the power is his love. I want you to write 3 things down to remember your Father in heaven. The Father in the power of his love. The Son in the provisions of his grace. And the Holy Spirit, the potential of his strength in your life. The Father in the power of his love. The Son in the provisions of his grace. And the Holy Spirit in the potential of his strength. This morning we do celebrate Father's Day. Our earthly father. But we do honor our godly father every day of our lives. We celebrate Father's Day every day. 365 days a year. And church, remember, his spirit touches your spirit. His spirit fills your heart that we call out Abba Father. Hallelujah. This morning, as we honor our dads here today, I would just ask the fathers to please stand. Any father? All the fathers in the house. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know our children's in the back of Sunday school, and I want the children to come up and get the presents for their dad. So I don't know if I can just knock on the door. You go get them for me, please.
A little something I want to say. It's popping out of me because he keeps saying, well, whatever's going on. It's a little story. You know that Carolyn's having the operation for Gideon on July 11th. And I really, when she spoke, I said, I need to be there. I'm going to be there. Oh, yes. And then Doug comes home, he's going to get cataracts, and says to me, I'm getting my cataract July 11th. And I was very upset and disappointed. And so I had to call Patty right away and tell her, I can't believe it's July 11th. I won't be able to make it. I'm so disappointed. And she says, you know, we could pray. And, oh, good idea. So I just prayed. And then the point was, I prayed, Daddy came out of my mouth. I don't usually say Daddy. And I said, Daddy, no, I know, because it's not a big prayer. I would like to be there. Daddy, can you let me be there? I want to be there. Next day, Dad comes home from work, and what does he say? You could pray that they change the appointment, is what she said. You could pray that they would change the appointment. Next day, Doug comes home from work, and what does he say? Change the appointment. Thank you, Daddy, Abba, Godfather. Thank you. I had to tell you. Isn't that great? Amen.
All the daddies got their present? Amen? Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer. Let us stand and say our Heavenly Father again. You don't mind, right? Amen. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He began with, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for this service. Hallelujah. We praise you and glorify you today, Lord God. I pray for each dad in this place, Lord, that you anoint them with the Spirit, that you fill their heart, Father, as they have a relationship with their children. As a little girl said, I'm with Daddy, that they feel secure in the Father's arms. In Jesus Christ's name, you call us for a higher standard, Father, with you, that we will reflect our Heavenly Father and each man here in this place to their wives and to their children, Lord, that we are set apart for your glory and for your honor. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Give him praise. Give him praise. He's worthy to be praised.